Blog
Happy
Talk
Friday,
Radio.
And welcome to another episode of The Bone Collector, and I'm Patty, and I'm The Bone Collector. So, tonight's subject is titled, the episode is titled, Those Victorians Can Tell a Story. Now, today, when we open up a newspaper, if you're from the Rochester area, first of all, the newspapers got thinner and thinner. There's very few pages, and most of the news that's in there isn't even local. It's brought in from different area papers or national papers, too. But most of the articles in there are politics and COVID updates and debates on, you know, the economy and all that stuff. But I think what we've lost is the flair of the interesting and the obscure, not just human interest stories of people, places, things that are unique, that are shocking, that just want to be told. There are so many interesting things that happen in this world today that we don't hear about unless you follow them on YouTube, you follow it on Twitter, Instagram. But the news, general news, the newspapers and that kind of media doesn't normally cover it. So I found some pretty interesting articles from the Victorian times, because they knew how to tell the story. They used descriptive language, and really nothing was taboo. They could pretty much say whatever they wanted, and nobody blinked an eye. I do think that in some cases, half of the stuff that they put into their newspapers would not pass the censors today, because it would be people would be too sensitive. Somebody would be offended by it. But you know what? They didn't care. Victorians could have cared less if you were offended by the news, they were offended by the story. They were going to tell it no matter how shocking, horrible, whatever, however you want to describe it, they were going to tell it. And some of it was kind of outrageous. The first article I found, and I find these by doing research for my books, my blogs, this show, I do find some pretty interesting little tidbits that are on pages just next to, hey, you know, we had this beautiful mirage, whatever they describe it, and then next to it is an article about a monster. And not just any monster. This was from a Montreal newspaper, but then it was re-reported in the Buffalo Courier in February of 1850. And whether this was a tongue-in-cheek story or whether the people actually, I don't see how this story could happen for real. However, this was back in the 1850s. It could have been just a story that was published to shock people, to just give a little light humor. But it really kind of isn't humorous. And the article reads that we are informed that a woman of the parish of St. Timothy has brought into the world a monster which surpasses in deformity the most horrid of infantile phenomena heretofore produced. The creature has nothing of human about it save the head and the arms, the rest of the body being in the form of a tortoise with its back and belly covered with a hard shell, its feet resembling perfectly those of a turtle. Like that animal, it draws in and hides its head and arms between its shells and in again, extending them, ejaculating a cry and nothing resembling the voice of a newly born infant. The parents, it is stated, overwhelmed with horror and dreading the disgrace which would attach to so remarkable a circumstance, were upon the point of smothering the monster at birth, but yielding to the counsel of their priests, they consented that it should receive the rite of baptism, which was accordingly conferred, and the creature seems likely to live. Now, is it possible that a woman could give birth to a turtle human child, or I don't know how else to describe it, or is there a medical condition that would have you develop a hardening of your skin on your back and your belly? But there could possibly be, however, that does not explain how this turtle human baby could draw its arms and head into the shells. So I'm going to let you try to figure out if you believe that this is real or just some kind of hoax that they were putting on for their readers. Also, this was a comical one. I did post it on my Facebook page a few weeks ago from the Buffalo Evening News in December 28th, 1908, which was right next to an article. This one is called Little Girl Knew All About This Ghost, right next to an article that says Dying Mother Saw Daughter's Casket Burn. Both interesting, one shocking, and one comical, only because I type in on these newspaper sites, I type in the word ghost. You never know what you're going to pull up, but this was the article that I got, and I had to keep it just to share with everybody. Little girl knew all about this ghost. What happened was it was her pet hen, which she hid to save from the Christmas axe. And as the article goes, it tells you that the farmer was, and his family believed that there was a ghost. Members of the family heard strange noises in the upper part of the house. They recalled an old tale that the place was haunted. They were worried so much that Christmas was spoiled. The only member of the family who did not seem to mind was the little Sarah. Today, her mother saw her start upstairs with a saucer filled with bread and other things, and an investigation disclosed that the hen was in the garret, fatter and fluffier than ever. The farmer rewarded the daughter for her devotion by promising never to kill the pet, because that her beloved hen, that 8-year-old Sarah had been caring for since it came out of the egg, was to be placed on the dinner table for Christmas. So she hid the little hen into the attic, and the family was startled by the ghost stories that were told of the house in the past and believed that it was a ghost, and Christmas was ruined, but the beloved hen was saved. Now the story next to it, Dying Mother Saw Daughter's Casket Burned, it was a shocker. I tried to find out a little bit more about little May and her mother, but alas, neither one of them are in any records of cemetery or obituary. And it says, while at the point of death, Mrs. Edward O'Connor of 420 Grand Street in Williamsburg, New York City, saw the dead body of her daughter, May, 5 years old, burned in an adjoining room. The woman screamed, and the relatives, rushing into the parlor, found the casket ablaze. The men carried it to the street where the flames were extinguished, but the body of the child who had died Christmas morning was terribly charred. The child's casket had been surrounded by candles, which set fire to a lace curtain blown by air from an open window. So Christmas was ruined on both accounts. One ended happily, the other not so much. And an article below it was another, I'm sure, was another family that had their holidays ruined with it. Shot his family and himself. I did not copy that article because it was not something that I wanted to relive. Now, we talk about how the Victorians put into writing just different things that were of interest, and I would love to find more information about this. If I don't have any listeners that is from the, I'm trying to see, doesn't even say where it is, but I do believe it might be wherever Elk River is. I think that's in Minnesota. The title kind of captured me, and it's called The Skeleton in an Old Oak. Now we find that old trees will, when they open, either because of damage from a storm or in this case a lightning strike, will reveal some interesting things that are encapsulated in their core. Now, this is from 1895. September 1895, along the Elk River, that there was a tree, an old oak, that had been struck by lightning outside of town. And unfortunately, it doesn't say which town, unless Elk River is a town in Minnesota. And the tree was struck by lightning. And it brought out a hollow spot that was split open in the tree, and a gentleman was riding by, and he noticed that there was something white within the tree, and he knew the tree very well because it was something that was used as a landmark to the locals. And what he found upon investigation, there was a skeleton of a woman that had been in the tree, and it says so long that it was blanched and ready to fall to pieces at the touch. The skull, which was small, had been crushed in at the top as if by a heavy blow on its head. There was no traces of clothing in the tree, and the wood was decayed, and there was more bones found under the bones, but nothing to identify the body. And it says that older residents that had been there for quite a number of years, it doesn't say how long, it just says number of years ago, a half-witted child had disappeared from the village and that no trace of her had ever been found. She lived with her father, and soon after her disappearance, the father moved away. And it says whether the girl was murdered and hidden in the hollow tree or whether she fell in through a hole some distance from the ground and starved to death, they'll never know. But they have not ever been able to identify the young woman. It said that the hollow part of the tree has filled in with leaves and wood over the time as it passed, so people have not been able to see the bones that have climbed the tree to see if they could get, I guess it's an attraction. Well, I guess I would go there and see a woman that was found in the tree. Now, so some local interesting stuff that were found in the newspapers. And this is from Seneca Falls. And I would love to have somebody take this description of, excuse me, what is in the newspaper article and draw this for me. Because this is from the Star Gazette, which is out of Elmira. And it's from July 29th, 1907. It was on the fifth page of the newspaper, so it wasn't top news. It was just something interesting that had come from the area, and they wanted to let their readers know. We're very thankful for that. And it says from the title, Strange Fossil Puzzle Salon. What sort of animal has the head, excuse me, and my allergies, has a head like a horse, tusks like a dog, a long reptile body, and legs like man. Now, whether or not this is a true story, like the turtle human baby, we don't know. Or if it was just some farce that they placed in the paper. It says Seneca Falls. And we do, you know, if I have any listeners from Seneca Falls that can, you know, think that they've ever heard this story before, that would be awesome to confirm. Seneca Falls, July 29th, 1907. Naturalists here are entirely at a loss to name the animal whose skeleton was found under a house at the corner of High and Bridge Streets. The house is one of the oldest in town, and it was being repaired when the skeleton was discovered by Bert McKevitt. The skeleton, the skull of the fossil is 4 inches long and resembles a miniature horse's head. There are tusks and grinders on the jaw. The neck is long and shaped somewhat like a horse's, and the body is long and resembles that of a reptile. There are 13 small ribs on a side and 10 vertebrae in the spine below the ribs. The legs are similar to those of a human being, and the feet were apparently webbed. When alive, the animal probably stood a foot above the ground and was 2 feet long from tip to tip. There were no forefeet of signs of wings or signs of wings. So, first thing that comes to mind when I read this article is the Jersey Devil. Head like a horse. Some human-like features, but the webbed feet, he had hooved cloven feet, and a long body that resembles that of a reptile. But could this have been a skeleton of the Jersey Devil? We will never know, but I would love it if somebody could put up a little picture of that creature, because I would just love to see the combination. But these stories don't end here. Democrat and Chronicle, 1887 in April, puts up the bullets could not kill him. Henry Groove, a saloon keeper, fired 2 bullets into his head last night. This morning, the doctors found him drinking beer in his saloon. The bullets went through his brain, but he shows no indication of dying and says he is completely comfortable. Interesting. We would never see this in our local papers. But there's always something interesting. If you have a chance to search through some of these newspapers, you can find some of the most obscure little articles. And the articles that I found were found on accident just from looking and researching other writing projects and other books. Now, we're going to get to some cool events that are going on coming up in the next couple months, and also some announcements of a few cool projects that are coming out too, or have come out. Just this past Monday, an adaptation of Ghosts and Hauntings of the Finger Lakes into a children's book was released. You can get it online at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And the title of the book is, let me find it, is The Ghostly Tales of the Finger Lakes. Very well done. Great illustrations. It is mainly for younger children, possibly, I'm thinking 9 to 13-year-olds. That came out on Monday. I'll also have those on my Facebook page, These Old Bones, for sale. And like I said, you can also purchase them on Barnes & Noble's website and on Amazon. You can also pick them up at ArcadiaPublishing.com. There's a really cool event that's coming up on the 19th of June at Under the Apple Tree Antiques and Gift Shop. It's a local author event. There will be at least 10 local authors from the Western New York area, and they will all be sharing with you the books that they have written. They'll be available at the event and also from their respective sources that they have them, Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. And if you check back on These Old Bones closer to the event, there'll be a complete list of the authors that will be attending. And of course, I will be there as well. And for those of you who are fans of Comic-Cons, events are starting to open up finally. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited that we have events that are coming up. So we are talking about July 17th and 18th. The Thousand Island Comic-Con will be at the Watertown Zoo. The entire grounds of the zoo are turning into the Comic-Con, so you can come see all the wonderful animals that they have in their collection and also attend one of the premier conventions in the upstate New York area. So those are some events that are coming up. Soon we will be opening up the South Wedge Farmers Market, June 24th, and it will be on Gregory Street at the Odd Fellows Hall outside of the parking lot. Wonderful vendors, artisans, and of course, farm fresh produce will be there starting on June 14th, Thursday nights from 4 to 7, and it runs all the way through September 23rd is the last night of the farmers market. So come out to the South Wedge Farmers Market on Thursday starting June 24th from 4 to 7. I will be there, of course. And you'll get to walk away with some great items that the South Wedge has to offer. So next week, we're going to be talking Haunted Asylums of Western New York. You know that there is a plethora of haunted locations in Western New York, but asylums just have that little bit of an extra attraction when you talk about the ghosts and what had gone on there. We'll touch on Rolling Hills Asylum in East Bethany. We will talk about Willard in Ovid, New York, right on the Seneca Lake shoreline, and also the Buffalo Psych Center, which now is a beautiful hotel that you can visit, stay a night, and maybe experience a little ghost or two. We are not short in short supply of haunted hotels and places that you can stay and experience the afterlife. We have the Statler Hotel in Buffalo. We have the old Buffalo Psych Center. And we also have some great bed and breakfasts and inns. We have trying to think of a couple, and there's always the wineries, the Miles Winery in Hector, New York, and we've lost some of our great haunted locations that have gone from bed and breakfast to just regular residents, such as the Adams Basin Inn. Unfortunately, a couple of years ago, the owners of the inn retired and put the building up for sale. The new owners now have it as a private residence, so you cannot go and experience the spirits of Catherine and also of Alexander Milner, who was one of the youngest drummer boys for George Washington in the American Revolution. So, next week, Haunted Asylums of Western New York. And hopefully the weather will turn for the better, because we are really getting tired of this roller coaster ride. It is wreaking havoc on our allergies and our sinuses. So, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of The Bone Collector. I know it was a little bit more laid back, kind of a bunch of different oddball stuff tonight. However, I'm a little oddball myself. So, back to ghosts and hauntings. Next week with Haunted Asylums, Friday night at 7 p.m. And you'll never know what else is going on unless you tune in to The Bone Collector. And if you are out in the Clarkson-Brockport area tomorrow afternoon or Sunday, you may just catch me at Under the Apple Tree Antiques and Gift Shop. But I can tell you, if you stop by and I'm not there, you won't be disappointed, because there are some great finds and the owner is awesome. And check out the Finger Lakes newspaper this weekend. I think it's called the Finger Lakes Times. There will be an article in there that you might just find interesting Tuesday or Wednesday. And you can also catch their current issues at fltimes.com. So check it out next week. Stop in at Under the Apple Tree Antiques and Gift Shop. Pick up a couple books. You never know what other treasures you're going to find. And as always, stay spooky, stay safe, and always keep it real. Good night.